Well, we've come once again to hear the Word of God, and I know my brother has come prepared, so I do ask and pray that you be mindful of him and yourselves as he would deliver the Word of God to you this evening, our brother, priest Glenn Orsted.
Thank you, Gordon, and good evening, everyone. As I contemplated the time that I'd have here before you this evening, I was drawn to not so much a particular verse, but a story, which includes verses. But a lot of times I stand here, just a couple little verses I've got drawn towards. But tonight I'm drawn towards a story that we find in the Book of Mormon. And tonight's message is going to be a very simple message. And when I say a simple message, what I mean is it's going to be easy to understand. It's probably not going to be a surprise to anyone here. And as such, it's not going to take me a whole lot of scriptures to be able to present it. But although it may be easy to understand, and everyone here is going to, I believe, easily comprehend what I'm saying, and probably nothing's going to be a surprise to anyone, if we're honest with ourselves, though, the application can be very difficult. And so really, that's my intent here tonight, is not to bring something new, but to bring in our remembrance something that we need to be mindful of as we prepare ourselves for the times that we live in, the things that we anticipate coming upon us. We don't know exactly the time frame, but we have, through prophecy, kind of an understanding of things that are going to transpire and kind of an idea of where we fit into that. And so we have some ideas of what awaits us. Those that desire to follow along, you can turn into the 11th chapter of the Book of Mosiah. Specifically, I will eventually be starting on page 276, if you want to find that. And what I'm kind of, my thoughts were kind of drawn to tonight, is I'd be surprised if there's anyone here this night who doesn't feel, in some degree or another, if not the out-and-out persecution, but the resistance to God's Word that's in the world today. If you go to work, you go to school, perhaps within conversations with friends or family who may not be members of the gospel, probably sometime or other, You've felt a resistance to God's Word, to the truth. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that you have felt a reluctance to share. And some of you may at times. Not everyone has the gift to be able to speak out and witness strongly. We all have different things that we're stronger at and the ability. But even if you're strong and you're vocal about your witness and about the truth and about the gospel of Jesus Christ, probably sometime or other you've felt the resistance of the world, if we say, if not an out-and-out opposition or persecution to our views. And so tonight I'd like to look at a people that were in a similar situation. Probably worse than anything, well, I'm quite sure, probably worse than anyone here has experienced, but maybe something that those within this room, somewhere in the years to come, will have to endure. But even if you don't go to the full extreme, still the application, even on the small aspects of life, is still applicable. And that's my goal tonight, is to get us to think about something. The way God works is often different than the way we think things should go or the way we would probably like things to go. Often God requires more of us than what we would really like. That doesn't mean we're not willing, but frequently I find that our Lord pushes us. Those that desire to follow him, he keeps pushing us to a level that we're really uncomfortable with, that we might improve and become stronger. And so the story, I'm going to start here in the 11th chapter of Mosiah. We're going to need a little background. And so if you will allow me, I'm going to kind of paraphrase the run into it. Those of you are familiar with the story, and I'm not going to go in great detail, but there are a few things I think we need to understand before I start reading. First off, before the 11th chapter, if we were to back up a few chapters, I think it's the 9th chapter or somewhere back there, but a few chapters back here in Mosiah, we read the account of Abinadi. It was in a time of an evil king, King Noah. And he was proclaiming the truth. I'm not going to go into great detail. He was proclaiming the truth. He was standing in opposition to the evil and the iniquity that was abounding around him at the time. And because of that stand that he made, he was put to death by the king, the powers of the time. During that same time frame, though, there was an individual who heard his words and believed. And his name was Alma. He heard the words of Abinadi, realized that some of those things that he was warning about were also a part of his life. He repented of those things. And then he too found himself in opposition to the king and the powers at the time. And because of that, he and others who also hearkened to the words of Abinadi had to flee. They fled out of the kingdom. They went to an area that was described as the land of Helam. And there they began to prosper. Things were going well for them. They were being blessed. But after some time, and I don't know exactly what the time frame is. I don't know if it even says, but I didn't spend the time trying to find out how long they were in this condition. But eventually, with time, they found themselves surrounded by Lamanites. And that's where I'd like to pick up the story this evening. Here in Mosiah chapter 11, I'm going to first read verses 40 and 41. It's on page 276. It says, "And it came to pass that the Lamanites promised unto Alma and his brethren that if they would show them the way which led to the land of Nephi, they would grant unto them their lives and their liberty. But it came to pass that after Alma had shown them the way that led to the land of Nephi, the Lamanites would not keep their promise, but they set guards round about the land of Helam over Alma and his brethren." So they were tricked. They were deceived. They were lied to. So, you know, if you'll just show us how to get back to where we want to get us to our destination, you know, we won't trouble you. Which is the information they did want. But having received that, they weren't going to just go away and leave them there. And so they were once again under rule of an oppression. I say an oppression to the very ideals and the righteous lives that they were desiring to live, to be able to follow the commandments that God had given. Their desire is to be a righteous people. And so a king, Amulon, was appointed king over the land of Helam. And now I'd like to jump over a few verses, and I'd like to pick up the story in verse 50. It says, "And they were a people friendly one with another. Nevertheless, they knew not God. Neither did the brethren of Amulon teach them anything concerning the Lord their God, neither the law of Moses. Nor did they teach them the words of Abinadi. But they taught them that they should keep their record and that they might write one to another. And thus the Lamanites began to increase in riches and began to trade one with another and wax great and began to be a cunning and wise people as to the wisdom of the world. Yea, a very cunning people, delighting in all manner of wickedness and plunder, except it were among their own brethren. And now it came to pass that Amulon began to exercise authority over Alma and his brethren, and began to persecute him, and cause that his children should persecute their children. For Amulon knew Alma, that he had been one of the king's priests, and that it was that he believed the words of Abinadi, and was driven out before the king. And therefore he was wroth with him, for he was subject to King Laman. Yet he exercised authority over them and put tasks upon them, and put taskmasters over them. And it came to pass that so great were their afflictions that they began to cry mightily to God. And it came to pass that Amulon commanded them that they should stop their cries. And he put guards over them to watch them, and that whosoever should be found calling upon God should be put to death. And it came to pass that Alma and his people did not raise their voices to the Lord their God, but they did pour out their hearts to him, and he did know the thoughts of their hearts. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came to them in their affliction, saying, Lift up your heads and be of good comfort, for I know of the covenant which ye have made unto me, and I will covenant with this my people and deliver them out of bondage. And I will ease the burdens which are put upon your shoulders, that even you cannot feel them upon your backs, even while you are in bondage. And this will I do, that ye may stand as witnesses for me hereafter, that ye may know of a certainty that I, the Lord God, do visit my people in their afflictions. And it came to pass that the burdens which were laid upon Alma's brethren were made light. Yea, the Lord did strengthen them, that they could bear their burdens with ease. And they did submit cheerfully and with patience to the will of the Lord. And it came to pass that so great was their faith and their patience that the voice of the Lord came unto them again, saying, Be of good comfort, for on the morrow I will deliver thee out of bondage. And he saith unto Alma, Thou shalt go before this people, and I will go with thee, and deliver this people out of bondage. Now it came to pass that Alma and his people in the nighttime gathered their flocks together, and also of their grain. Yea, even all the nighttime were they gathering their flocks together. And in the morning the Lord caused a deep sleep to come upon the Lamanites, yea, and all their taskmasters were in a profound sleep. And it came to pass that Alma and his people departed into the wilderness, and when they had traveled all day, they pitched their tents in a valley. And they called the name of the valley Alma, because he led their way in the wilderness. Yea, and in the valley of Alma they poured out their thanks to God, because he had been merciful unto them, and eased their burdens, and delivered them out of bondage. For they were in bondage, and none could deliver them, except it were the Lord their God. And they gave thanks to God, yea, all their men and all their women, and all their children that could speak, lifted their voices in praises of their God. You know, we read stories like this in the Book of Mormon and in the Bible, and we're inspired to see righteous individuals, and in times of trial, that the Lord's there and with them. The disadvantage, if you will, of when we read through this, you know, everything goes fast. In a matter of a few minutes, I covered things that probably went on for a good length of time. Particularly if you're an individual that's in some great trial, that something's really trying, you know, it seems like it goes, even if it isn't terribly long, it seems like a long time, when the burdens that you're facing are weighing down upon you. And so I'd like to look tonight at a few things that happen here to help us to kind of understand a few things. Because the same thing applies even if the burden, if you will, isn't as great as being in bondage and slavery and having guards set upon you and taking away your freedom to call out audibly to your Lord. Because the same precepts follow even the simplest of obstacles that we have to face in our lives. I'd like to start by backing back up here and look at a few things that we read through. I've read the story now. Now I'd like to look at a few things that, if we're not careful, we read over and we get the story. And that sounds, you know, just wonderful. You know, the Lord pulled them out. He strengthened them. He blessed them and stuff. But there's a couple things in there I'd like to look at to see if we can apply it to our lives. That is, starting at verse 50, it says, and this is describing the people, the Lamanites that have come in. We're not talking about Alma and his group. It says, and they were a people friendly one with another. Nevertheless, they knew not God, neither did the brethren of Alma teach them anything concerning the Lord their God, neither the law of Moses. Nor did they teach them the words of Abinadi, but they taught them that they should keep their record, and that they might write one to another. And thus the Lamanites began to increase in riches, and began to trade one with another, and wax great, and began to be a cunning and a wise people as to the wisdom of the world. Yea, a very cunning people, delighting in all manner of wickedness and plunder, except it were among their own brethren. Does that sound familiar? Is not much of society we live in exactly like that? Many of the people that we come in contact are exactly like that. He says, you know, they're taught out there, these are not horrible barbarians that are out there, you know, cutting one another down and eating one another's flesh and all these things. They are friendly with one another. They got along with one another. But they knew not God. They didn't teach the words. They didn't teach the words of Abinadi. They didn't teach the law of Moses. They increased in riches. That was their desires. They began to trade one with another to benefit themselves. A cunning and a wise people to the wisdom of the world. Delighting all manner of wickedness and plunder, except it were among their own brethren. How many times have we come across this? Someone, you know, a co-worker, fellow student, any number of ways we can come in contact with people outside of this room that think nothing to take advantage of some stranger, something they wouldn't do to a member of their family or they wouldn't do a coworker, but if they can benefit from someone that they don't really know, he's a stranger, you know, the to be dishonest to an insurance company, to walk away from a store purchase with too much change. To any of them, I do the list. But, you know, somehow they have this code within themselves. You know, someone they're directly with, I wouldn't do that to. But a stranger, that's different. That's what it's saying here, you know. They had a nice society, you know. If you were looked at them, they got along well. They're all right. You know, they wouldn't do these things to one another. But someone outside of that group was a different standard. And they not only didn't have the Word of God, as we continued in these verses, I read the whole story here out there, they didn't want to hear the Word of God. And they were really seemed to be all right content with people, you know, saying it silently. You know, there's really no way, I don't know how they would really enforce that. But they didn't want to hear it, you know. Said guards are, you know, we don't want to hear you talking about that. But they still poured out their heart and their soul came out, and God knew their thoughts and knew what's in their heart. Isn't that really the society we live in? Oh, we don't want to hear it, though. It's fine, you're a Christian, but don't impose it upon me, you know. I don't want to hear it. I mean, that's fine for you, but I don't want to hear it. You know, no, you can't say that in the school. No, you can't say that in the workplace. No, you can't say that. No, you can't, you know. I don't know if it's just me, but I mean, I read that. I see much of this. And that's why I was compelled with it this evening, that really we're, at least in the beginning stages, of seeing a very similar thing. We are not, as a group of people, we are not in a land that we have complete freedom of anymore. We have a government and we have laws that will be enforced upon us and are enforced upon us. We expect to get worse. But I think probably I'd be surprised if anyone here doesn't at least see the beginnings of these very conditions that we find Alma and his brethren being, say, exposed, not the word, but... surrounded by, exposed to, put upon them. And yet we have to really kind of realize that where the story picks up, they've already fled once. Their lives were in jeopardy once. I mean, and that's something that's kind of hard to understand. Sometimes we look at these little instant, you know, we look at these individuals, we think maybe there's a, you know, a particular instance or something where something's happened. But this isn't their first go around. They've already fled because their lives were in danger, which is where they ended up where they're at, and they thought everything was going well. And then suddenly, they find themselves in these circumstances. And so they already thought once they'd relieved themselves, they'd freed themselves of this once already. And now here, they find themselves back in bondage, their lives in jeopardy again. And I want us to notice that the Lord did not initially remove them from it, did he? He didn't initially step in and just take them out of that. The first thing he said, what did he do? He strengthened them. That he could do these things that were asked upon them, that they'd be easy. says here in verse 61, "And I will also ease the burdens which are put upon your shoulders, that even you cannot feel them upon your backs, even while you are in bondage." And then verse 63 says, "And now it came to pass that the burdens which were laid upon Alma's brethren were made light. Yea, the Lord did strengthen them that they could bear up their burdens with ease, and they did submit cheerfully and with patience to all the will of the Lord." Why? There's a reason. I skipped the verse that gives us the reason, so we'll back up and we'll look at that. Okay, he said here in verse 62, it says, the Lord speak here, and it says, the Lord speak here, it says, "And this will I do, that ye may stand as witnesses for me hereafter, that ye may know of a certainty that I, the Lord God, do visit my people in their afflictions." The Lord had a plan. You know, he always does. It's just a matter of whether we're willing to follow along that when frequently we don't see the direction that he's taking us. Abinadi stood firm, and it cost him his life. If we were to look just at that picture, we'd say, well, why? I mean, what can I? He made this big stand and he ended up dying. Of course, there's the big picture. I don't want to discount that. I mean, because through his righteousness and his dedication to doing the will of the Lord, he has the hope of eternal salvation and all that. But I want to look even within the temporal aspects of God's working. Abinadi lost his life, but because of his work, Alma and this group are now here picking up where he left off. I'm not going to turn over to it, but in the scriptures in the Bible, it talks when Stephen was being stoned. There was an individual in that group that took his cloak and stuff, who speaks of him frequently, and that was Paul. It was Paul. And frequently, many scholars think that, you know, that was the beginning of Paul's conversion, the Stephen's martyrdom. And so we don't know the outcome of God's plan. But he gives the reason here. He says, you know, that you'd be a witness. You'd have something within your life to be a testimony and to be an example to those that are around you. You know, it doesn't really tell us, you know, what the Lamanites thought of it, but I'm sure there's a time where these individuals were struggling. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're putting taskmasters upon them. They're putting burdens. They're trying to break them down. Perhaps there's some here this night that find themselves maybe in their workplace or in schools, particularly some of you going to the colleges and stuff, that there's an out-and-out effort to break you down. It may not be physically like putting a load on your back, but emotionally and spiritually to break you down. That you won't stand firm. That you become ashamed of your testimony. That you withhold it so that others won't hear it. And ultimately, to turn away and forsake it and walk away. And so I see many applications in the story that we can apply to aspects of our lives. That anytime we're in a situation where we find ourselves, where we're at the receiving end of those who are in opposition to God's plan, to God's word, in opposition to righteousness, and the important thing that I was drawn to tonight is that God frequently, his initial response isn't to pull us out, but to strengthen us that we're ready for what's going to come upon us. Ultimately, they would once again flee, and he'd take them to a land where they could establish themselves. But for a time being there, his blessings was that he strengthened them. And so really, that's kind of the crux of the message that I'm trying to get towards tonight before I finish up, is that, are you ready to be strengthened? Are you ready to let the Lord make you be strong enough to stand to what the world will throw at you. Because frequently, I think we've, particularly here in the United States, we've had life pretty easy. Our missionaries that go to these other countries, we get stories, and some have been have the opportunity to travel and stuff and see some just the hard life that many of our brothers in the gospel and the world in general have to endure that we don't. We have what we consider, trials and things in our life, but they're really petty compared to what much of humanity as a whole has to endure. Poverty in the United States is wealthier than the average median in much of the world. And so we are kind of prone to being conditioned that we like things to be easy and we like things not to be difficult and that we don't like to have to struggle and work really hard to be able to accomplish or do the most basic things of life. Probably no one here would be happy with having to walk, miles and miles and bear the burden of bringing the weight back to haul water back to your home that probably isn't even safe to drink with. You have to then boil it and do all kinds of things to make it even usable. Not to even have the ability to be able to find food to put upon your table because there simply isn't any to be had. We have had life very easy. And so that's why I want to stress to us that, it may be very difficult for us to accept that the Lord can strengthen us to endure things that we think that we can't. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the example here, making us physically strong, that you can bear, 200 pounds on your back and walk X miles with it. It could be bearing you up spiritually that when you're in a workplace that's hostile to your beliefs, that's hostile to the Book of Mormon, that's hostile to seeing you say a prayer over your meal at lunchtime, that you have the strength to stand for it and refuse to give up your convictions. The strength to have a testimony of what the Lord has done for you in life, even when someone sitting on the other side of the table is going to chastise you for it, ridicule you for it. The strength to stand firm to the words and the convictions of the Book of Mormon, the King James Version of the Bible, when there's so many there are really neat, wonderful translations out there that really help you understand what God really wants you to understand better than that old stuff or that fake Book of Mormon. The strength to stand up to those things. And that's really what I want to understand tonight, that God has the power to strengthen us if we will allow Him. He has the ability to strengthen us to do things that we think that we can't, that we think are beyond our ability, beyond our intellect, beyond our physical strength, beyond our understanding, our wisdom, beyond our discernment. And God frequently does do that. How long was Noah building that ark while he's being ridiculed? How dedicated did Lehi and Nephi have to be in their convictions when part of their own family disagreed? There's any number of great figures that we read about. We admire their abilities and the things that they accomplished, the Bible and the Book of Mormon. But I'll put before you tonight is because they are willing to allow God to strengthen them to be beyond that they could have on their own. And everyone in this room can do the same. But we have to be willing to be in a situation that we need strength, which means we have to be willing to be in a situation or a condition that we're uncomfortable with, that we wouldn't have chosen on our own. I would say probably every one of those there, if you give them their choice, between remaining in a life of prosperity, things going well, and being surrounded by an army and having taskmasters put upon them, would have chosen the primary. But they found themselves not in that situation. And they were willing to allow God to strengthen them in the circumstances they were in. And the interesting thing, it says then, where was it here? Verse 65. Now they've done this. They have a lot. It says that... Verse 65 says, it came to pass, so great was their faith and their patience. That's an important thing. I don't know how long they're in this condition. Maybe it says elsewhere. I didn't spend a whole lot of time researching. But this text doesn't really tell me exactly how long that they were in this condition. But it's long enough that God recognized that they are patient in it. That the voice of the Lord came upon them again, saying, "Be of good comfort. For on the morrow I will deliver thee out of bondage." And they had to flee again, didn't they? I mean, isn't that another trial within itself? They've already fled once. Now here, we have to flee again. They can't take the homes they've built and those things. They take their flocks, their grains, but they're going to have to go and they're going to have to start over again. You know, we read these stories out there. Sometimes I think, you know, we look at the strength of the individuals and we look at the things that get accomplished, and we don't always focus upon really the hardships and things they had to overcome. We like to look at the greatness and think, I'd like to be like that, but we don't always look at what they had to endure and picture ourselves in that. You know, would I be willing to do that same thing? Would I be able to make those same sacrifices? Would I be able to find myself suddenly, my freedom's taken away, guards outside of my house, giving me things to do that I don't want to do, that's not for my own benefit? And to do it happily and trust the Lord that He'll give me the strength to do it. You know, I'm getting up there in age. There's many people here older than me, but you know, my body's starting to ache and stuff. I imagine there are individuals there, the same thing, different age groups. There's probably some of them just getting up in the morning kind of hurt. The joints and the bones kind of ache and stuff. The idea of, you know, hauling some weight for someone else's benefit, you know, probably wouldn't have been appealing if they're thinking from their own selfish and personal standpoint. But they're being willing to be led and directed of the Lord. I'd like to turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to start at verse 13. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, that's why we do this, to be an example, to be seen, is that we can glorify the name of God. That's why individuals, they submit themselves that to being able to do the will of the Lord. That, as I said, they can be witnesses to the workings of the Lord. That they have testimonies. There's absolutely no way I could have got up one more morning and put that load on my back and hauled it however far I had to haul it if God didn't strengthen me. Because the day before, I had about all I could do. My back was killing me. My feet were hurting me. And there's no way I could do it. And suddenly I woke up and I didn't even know it was there. And then we get the word, it's time to leave, and everyone else falls asleep, and we just walk out of there. To let their light shine. In Romans chapter 15, I'm going to start with the first verse. Romans 15, verse 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." That's an important thing, you know. We don't do these things to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. You know, Christ didn't come to please himself, but to be a sacrifice for everyone in this room, all of mankind. It says, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God. even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the crux of what I felt to put before us this night. This message, I said, shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. We all have kinds of stories and scriptures about God working in people's lives, being in trials, and God doing blessings. And we've heard testimonies of individuals sitting here in this room tonight, you know, of great things God's done in their life. But what I felt impressed this night is, are you willing to be strengthened by God? That you can do more than you think you can. Are you willing to be strengthened that you can do things that you don't want to do? Because God can do all things. He can do it by small means. However, I want to say this right, because I don't think there's anyone here that's of no value. And there's no one here that's not of great importance. But, you know, when we look upon ourselves and we start comparing stuff, you may think someone's better at this or someone's greater at that, or maybe I'm not important at this or I can't do that. God can strengthen you to do whatever He needs to have you do. He can give you the understanding to understand the things you don't. The wisdom, the discernment for the decisions you make. The physical strength to do the things you need to do. The courage to stand when you want to run. He can strengthen you that you can glorify His name. And really, that's what we're here for, is to glorify God's name. Everything in this life, this temporal body, this world we live in, is all going to be wrapped up. And we're here on our journey to eternity in God's kingdom. Are you willing to be strengthened? And I thank you for your time.